Check 1, 2.
John Hurst's campaign headquarters is check in an office park, across from Nanaimo North Town Center.
What the hell is that?
Or at least that's what his campaign manager told me.
748.
I get some directions from a law firm, and they direct me to his office.
Hi there.
Hi, are you John?
I am John.
I'm Todd Maffin.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
It was right out front, all along.
I figure if we go somewhere quiet where you're not going to be interrupted by a
and
phone...
And, like all the candidates, we start with his parents.
So my parents, my dad was born and raised here. I think his grandparents came over from Nova Scotia, so he was a third generation. I'm fourth generation in Nanaimoite.
Wow.
And essentially he worked at the local pulp mill at Harmac there since he was, 17. When the pulp mill closed down before the employers bought it, he took the chance to get retrained. So he did training to be a conservation officer. And he did that for one summer in Manitoba. And it was the first time he was ever away from my mom and his family and his adult life and absolutely hated it. So he came back and he had a couple, basically started his own business, had a couple of contracts dealing with people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. He'd take them out for social activities, basically run errands and such with them. My mother, she was actually born and raised in Flin Flon, Manitoba, which is about as big as it sounds. I still have quite a bit of family out there. They're actually all visiting right now.
How did they meet?
She moved here in the middle of high school. Her family basically uprooted and moved out here. And so they met in school. So she has worked basically in social services her entire life. She used to work for my aunt's company, which helped people with disabilities live independently. And she went to school. When I was young, she went to night classes and such and got a degree. And now she works for Community Living BC.
You have siblings?
I do. I have a younger sister.
And so you were first born.
Yes.
What kind of kid were you?
What kind of kid?
Yeah.
I was a geeky kid.
Were you?
A huge
geek. What kind of geek, though? Because there's like grammar geek, Star Trek geek, video game geek.
Video game geek.
Are you still a video game geek?
If I had time.
Yeah.
Right? I was a pretty geeky kid, big into books and such. I remember in elementary school, I was reading adult books. I mean, they're sci-fi and fantasy and that sort of thing. I mean, junk, but still. I still probably read 2 to 3 novels a week kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's...
Are we talking like actual physical books, or this is like on Kindle, or...?
Well, I've converted to Kindle now. It's just so convenient.
Yeah.
But, it used to be physical books.
Do you keep your books? Some people who are like big readers keep their books.
I had. So I just donated all my books about a year ago, and that was about 6... like full-size moving boxes full of books. So that was quite a bit.
How old were you when your sister was born?
I would have been, 4, 5.
So you remember?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Vaguely. I remember she just got married this last week, and I told the story. I remember going to the hospital with my dad and being handed the new baby and holding her and handing her back to my parents and wondering why all the adults in the room were laughing at me because I asked when can we give her back. But so I remember that part.
What was elementary school like for you? Where did you go to school?
I went to Mountain View Elementary. It was good. I actually went there in grade 1, so for kindergarten. Elementary school in Harewood. And my parents moved us out of there. Our house got broken into one too many times, so they decided to move.
How old were you then when that happened?
That was the summer between kindergarten and grade 1, so whatever age that would have been. Yeah, no, I it was good. I mean, I met a lot of my long-term friends there, of course, the friends you have since grade school. And, I was the geeky kid, a little shy, a little... introverted even. So, I mean, it's still a small town. So, you know, running into a lot of my elementary school teachers and stuff, that's quite an interesting experience. I'd laugh in the by-election. I knocked on the door of my grade six teacher, Mr. Ballard, and I probably haven't seen him since grade six. So that was quite shocking.
Did he remember you from your student days?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
You know, high school was a similar experience. You know, pretty geeky, introverted, good grades, liked reading, that sort of thing. Started to come out of my shell, I would say, like my grade 12 year type thing.
What do you think brought you out of your shell?
I think it was just a moment of introspection and realizing that, you know, if I didn't, you let opportunities kind of pass you by.
Did you have an interest in politics back then?
You know, I think I've always kind of had an amateur's interest in politics. Like, I've never, even up until I got involved, I never followed it that closely. But I think it always interested me from the standpoint of, if you ever wanted to make a difference in the world or make a difference in your community, I think I always saw it as a avenue to do that.
You saw it as an honorable profession?
Yeah. Meeting the other candidates in the by-election and the people I have, you know, I think most people who get involved with politics come from the standpoint of, you know, they want to make a difference. They want to make our community or our country a better place to live. And we just have different ideas what that looks like.
So you graduated?
I did.
What was next? What was next after that?
Well, I graduated and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I went to the university in town, which was Malaspina College at the time. And I did 2 years in the science program there because I figured I was kind of dorky and I liked science. University level science and high school level science are two different beasts, though. So I almost died through organic chemistry there, but somehow I toughed it through and decided that wasn't for me. So I left school and made the decision that if I was going to take time off school, I wanted to make as much money as possible. So I moved to Calgary for a year.
How old were you at this point?
20, okay. Maybe. Yeah, so I you know, made some contacts in the industry out there. I started working on the oil rigs. After a year, I kind of knew enough people and how to work it. So I moved back home and I just commute for work. So I worked on the drilling rigs for about 6.5 years.
Sorry, you commuted from where to where?
From Nanaimo to out there. So
you commuted from Nanaimo to the oil
to
rig?
Alberta. Yeah.
To Alberta?
Yeah.
Like how often?
Our rotations were supposed to be 2 weeks on, 1 week off, but especially when the industry was busy, they're so shorthanded, you could essentially work as much as you want. So I got to know enough people and how to make the contacts where I'd just fly to Edmonton and offer to pay the gas for some guy driving out into the bush, and we'd carpool out together and go work for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks and then come back out and fly home. In 2008, when oil went from $150 to $15 a barrel, we all lost our jobs, of course. And again, a moment of introspection, took a step back and thought, you know, what am I doing with my life? I signed up for business school, so that at now Vancouver Island University. And I kept working on the oil rigs while I went to school. So I took quite heavy semesters. I was able to get my business degree in 3 years as opposed to four. So I go and work for 2 or 3 weeks over Christmas and then come back, do my spring semester. And then I'd fly out for the summer and basically work the entire summer out there. So I paid my way through school and lived independently.
It's interesting because you sort of hit the trifecta, haven't you, really, of sort of of work careers in a very short period of time. You studied science, then you went into a very heavy trade, and then you went into business school. Like, is you sort of, unless you were also training to be a doctor, I think you've kind of hit all of them.
I don't do well with the sight of blood. So definitely medicine was not for me.
Fair enough.
Coming up to graduation, I did not know what I was going to do. I was starting to stress out a bit, quite honestly, and I was quite involved with the student government up there. I was part of the Business Students Association. So I stood up at one of our meetings and I said, hey, we should throw a career fair, because VIU hadn't had one. And like typical committees, they said, great idea, John, you're in charge. 5 weeks it took to organize it, and I had 53 employers come out and 500 or 600 students. So it was quite, went quite well. It was great for me because I got to network with all these employers and keep in touch and follow up. My current employer, Sun Life, kind of pulled me into the web from there.
Were they an exhibitor at the job fair?
They were, yeah.
You're married, you have kids?
Two kids.
You married?
Not yet.
Okay, so
next year.
So you're partnered. How did you meet her?
We met through mutual friends my first year in business school. Kind of funny, she managed the subway near the university. And as a university student, me and my group of friends, we ate lots of Subway. So I saw her lots and started seeing each other and dating. It's been coming up on, 9 years now?
And what year did you have your first child?
We had our first child 2017, March 2nd, 2017.
And which one was that?
Harper.
I have to ask, John.
No correlation there. It's if you saw the list of names we went through, we probably went through hundreds of names.
I had to ask.
No, of course.
Have other people asked you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the truth was we came down to two girls' names, Harper and Sloane, which is my second daughter, and those are the only two we could agree on. So we knew it was going to be one of those two, and when Harper was born, I had to hold Harper for about the first hour and a half, and this little baby yawned, and I swear to God she said Harper.
What year was your second daughter born?
She was born this year.
This year, okay.
January.
Between Harper and Sloane, mm-hmm. You got news of your father.
My father had a long battle with, honestly, mental health and addictions, primarily alcoholism. 2015-ish, he, we had a bit of a crisis, and he did go into treatment, and he was dry, so he wasn't drinking anymore. He didn't follow through on the work. Unfortunately. So I learned this term of being a dry alcoholic where a lot of the behaviors still exist. He substituted, right? So, I mean, for a bit there, I think it was shopping. He bought lots of tools and toys and we should buy a boat and we should buy this. And I guess he started experimenting with over-the-counter pills. Sudafed and I forget the second one, but I guess essentially the effects of them are like amphetamines. So that led to quite a bit of mental health issues and that sort of thing.
Were your parents together during this time?
They were through most of it. My mother was not in the house during the final kind of break. I think that was part of what he had going on.
Where did she go?
She was at a friend's, family friend's, right?
For a long time?
A couple weeks.
Okay.
Which I'm glad she was, the honest truth in a lot of situations like this, I'm glad she didn't get hurt. I'm glad, at least I have one parent still.
Do you feel comfortable talking about the day of your father's passing?
Absolutely. I mean, as a family, we made a conscious decision to try and talk about it as much as possible. We've all agreed to. primarily because people don't talk about it. So, it started with, I had my mom call me. So it was about 2 days, actually. So I had my mom call me the first evening saying the fire department had contacted her and their home, which they had built about a year previous, South Nanaimo, was engulfed in flames. and the neighbors had reported my dad's truck leaving. So we didn't know where he was. After a previous... the previous kind of crisis period I had mentioned, I took all my dad's firearms and stuff. So we didn't think he was armed or anything, but I mean, it's always a worry, right? Like your mind goes to worst case scenarios. So I had her come to my house, and so the family was kind of gathered there along. My sister was away, I believe. Yeah, she was in the States. So, you know, we were basically up all night, right? Waiting to hear, you know, we had the RCMP come and basically hang out at the house a bit. Again, that was at my request, just because, you know, a lot of times when, the next day, we still had no word. We were kind of just staying at my place as a family, staying together, that sort of thing. she went back to her friends to shower and get cleaned up and that sort of thing. That was that evening. I had the RCMP come to my place that night, saying they had found my dad's body. So he had driven up to a bridge just north of Parksville and jumped off. Me and the police officer went over to my mom's friends to let her know. And
how was that?
It was hard. Yeah, I mean, we called, you know, I have one uncle on that side that I'm close to. You know, called him and he broke down and stuff, of course. And yeah. We've tried to be as open with it as possible, as I mentioned. I've had, I won't say friends, but 7 acquaintances, you know, people I thought I knew fairly well come up to me afterwards and say, hey, you know, my dad or my brother or my son. And it's such a common problem, but people don't talk about it.
Federal MP, you know, it's certainly a role where you can make those kinds of changes, have an impact on policy and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We've agreed to not talk about policy and platform in this interview, but I do want to know, what was the first time or point at which you remember being drawn into this Nanaimo federal, at the time, by-election?
I got involved with the local Conservative Party the following spring, so that would have been 2016. And it was one of those things where, you know, I always told myself someday I want to do it. And, you know, one of the things I learned from my father's death was, you know, someday never comes. If you want to do something, just do it. So I signed up for the party and noticed online that their annual general meeting was just up the hill here at Oliver Woods the next weekend. So I thought, hey, what the hell? I'll go check it out. So, you know, I grabbed a coffee Saturday morning and cruised in there. And I jokingly say, if anybody goes to a political event with color still in their hair, they're all over you. So instantly they're like, oh, hey, a young guy. We didn't have a candidate at the time. And a few board members had approached me and said, hey, what about you?
What was your first reaction when they said that?
I was fairly uncertain, maybe. I think I was still a bit in the mindset of I'd be interested to run someday, but hey, I'm 31 and a new dad and I got a business going and maybe now is not the time. So I started reaching out to my network, you know, some of the mentors, some of the people I know in the community and asking for their feedback. And it was almost overwhelmingly positive. I expected a mixed bag of results. I expected some people to be like, yeah, it's a great idea. And some people to say like, oh, you're an idiot if you do that. But it was almost overwhelmingly positive. So I thought, yeah, why not me?
What surprised you about running?
Minor surprises. I was surprised how prevalent crime is in our community, quite honestly. I expected that in certain areas and such, but pretty much straight across the city I was hearing from people.
Did you find it really polarized?
To a certain extent, yes. Even people who didn't support me for the most part are... I mean, we're Canadian, we're polite, we're kind, right? Like most people, if you knock on their door and, you know, they don't support us, they're like, hey, you know, thanks, not interested, have a good day. you know, one of the approaches I took is, you know, I am relatively young, and, you know, I'd ask people what concerns you and your family, and being able to learn from people and get different viewpoints, that was really, really broadened my horizons.
I'm Lisa Yuzda. We are live here in Nanaimo where a historic by-election is underway.
The election party was at the golf club. I was with my family, so I wasn't there as the results were coming in, and I was waiting to hear from a couple of our team members before, so we knew the results and, you know, I could come in and make my calls and give my speech. So, a couple of the polls were so close that it actually delayed when we'd expect we could finally call it.
Oh God, that must be nerve-wracking.
Oh, it was so nerve-wracking.
It is a green victory in Nanaimo. That party secures a win in the federal by-election before the...
I had to laugh. You know, I called Paul Manley to congratulate him on his win. You know, got connected with him. You could obviously hear the cheering and stuff, and he did a phenomenal job. And, you know, congratulated on his win, complimented him on his campaign, and told them I'd see him in the fall. And he gave a good laugh at that. And yes, I went in and, you know, gave my brief concession speech and got to have the, you know, a beer to relax with all my supporters and stuff. And
how do you find the energy to go from that to just what is, you know, essentially just a couple of short months later to have to do it all over again? How do you get back into that?
It's a bit of a grind, right? It honestly, we didn't expect to have to run back to back. You know, we had closed on a house 3 days before the by-election started. So yeah, I had a few irons in the fire, right?
Whether or not you're the next few years of your job is in Ottawa or Nanaimo, mm-hmm. What do you see for yourself 20, 30 years down the road? What's John Hurst going to be like?
I have found I love being a dad. So, you know, no matter what, my family is very important to me. I think, you know, whether or not I'm elected in the fall or wherever my career takes me, I've grown to appreciate contributing to the community. You know, some of the most rewarding work I've done has been, you know, through some organizations in the city and such. You know, no matter what I do, I want to be involved and give back in some capacity.
I think that covers it. Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks
for the time. I really appreciate it. You've been super generous with your time.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
John Hurst is running for the Conservative Party of Canada in Nanaimo Ladysmith. If you or someone you know is considering suicide, call the Vancouver Island Crisis Line at 1-888-494-3888. It's confidential and open 24 hours a day. That's 1-888-494-3888. Next time on The Candidates.
He just said, I just want you all to know that I'm moving out, and we're going to be getting a divorce. And not very few moments after that, he walked out the door.
Does he live locally?
Yeah, he lives here in Nanaimo.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he lives up by Woodgrove Mall.
Do you have a good relationship with him right now, or any relationship?
No, I couldn't say that, no. When I received the vetting back from the NDP and knew I was going to be a candidate, I phoned him to let him know. Hey, Dad, you know, just so you know, you're going to see my signs popping up around town. He goes, well, you don't have my vote.